Hi, hello. Before we get going, the all-new 2026 Soccer Pick'em is here just in time for the world's biggest soccer tournament. Make picks each round, earn points, and climb the leaderboard. Play solo, create a private group with friends, join a public group to play with other fans, or even join our Yahoo Sports group to see if you can beat us. Join at yahoofantasy.com/soccerpick'em. Hi, hello, and welcome to another late night edition of the Dunker Spot Podcast. We are part of the Yahoo Sports Network. I am your host, Nikaias Duncan, and joining me as always is my co-host, the always excellent Steve Jones Jr. Steve, how the heck are you?
Trying to figure out what we're going to do about what we just saw, because the New York Knicks quite literally just had the greatest comeback in NBA Finals history. Down 29 points. The Madison Square Garden, hear a pin drop for over 45 minutes in that building. And the New York Knicks win this game to go up 3-1 in the NBA Finals, the largest comeback in Finals history. I don't necessarily know where we're going, Chet. I don't know where we're taking this, Nikaias. But the New York Knicks did the impossible. And they just chipped away. And for me personally, it was a team effort. A lot of great things happened. Every single you, after the last 72 hours of conversation that I heard, need to salute Jalen Brunson. Because let me tell you, when the times were tough, you know who was getting buckets? Jalen Brunson. It was so fascinating to watch this game, which was 18 games within the game and then became the largest comeback in Finals history, and now we're here. But Jalen Brunson, it was like, you know, it's time to get buckets. I'm going to keep getting buckets. We're going to go to high pick and roll. I'm going to get to the basket. I'm going to find my spots. I'm going to get in rhythm. And he did so much of that, that the conversation went from, hey, Jalen Brunson, why are you trying to score? To, hey, Jalen Brunson, why aren't you shooting? Admiral point that out. But he had the mindset to get Victor Wembanyama in action, to get to his spots. And the Knicks, slowly but surely in that second half, dismantled everything the Spurs built. And remember, the Spurs were up 29 in the first half. So this was not an easy effort. They took all the offense the Spurs had, took it off the table, and they brought a whole lot of other problems on the other end. And so I tipped the captain, Mike Brown, Jalen Brunson, putting Victor Wembanyama in action, high pick and roll, making him navigate, and then distorting the Knicks' rotations behind it. So he's in a drop, or he's at the level. They were able to kind of mess around with things behind it, and they played out of it. They made quick decisions, but they don't get there without Brunson making all those buckets. OG Anunoby has been on time, on target for the New York Knicks at every single moment they have needed him in this series. And he had probably one of the biggest plays of the game. They're going to talk about that three-pointer that he made. The decision that he made to cut from the right corner to the left corner to literally force Victor Wembanyama, who was in action against Jalen Brunson,
to go to the other.
And now, OG cut to that right corner. Wimby's rotation low was to OG. So a drive, forced help, kicked to OG. He made a three. I'm swinging the ball because I don't really know what to do with my hands. I don't know what to do with my life. The New York Knicks did it. The last play, the tip-in. You got Wembanyama switched on Jalen Brunson. Sure, anybody but you. The problem is, who's rebounding? We lost a tall person. I don't know. What? Look. Yeah, we got the switch. We got a double. Oh, no.
No. Oh, gee. It's what it is. What a phenomenal basketball game this was. I guess, one, let's go back to square one, Steve. The Knicks with a 107-106 victory. They lead the series 3-1. Jalen Brunson, the man of the hour, after all of the bucket game, did not make a shot in the first quarter. 4 points, 0-3 from the field. I think 4-4 from the free throw line in that first quarter because he couldn't get comfortable. We saw Cat for, what, a minute and 5 seconds? Or I guess a little bit later because he came back later in the first quarter. But, like, we barely saw Cat in that first quarter.
Can I self-indulge real quick before you continue as you lay out the blueprint? Every one of you Knicks fans who are yelling at me about the refs, I hope you're enjoying your night and having a great time because I'm a positive human. But this is why we don't talk about the refs. You just watch the basketball game. just watch the basketball game. The Knicks are a good team. Just watch the game. You won!
Boy, did they win. But talk about, you said a little bit earlier that it felt like 18 different games in one. It felt like one and a half to me. This was the San Antonio Spurs in that first half, or for large portions of the first half, saying, we are setting a tone defensively. You're not going to have a good time. We have counters to your defensive activity and some of the help that you want to show. We're getting downhill. We are making threes at a historic rate. And then we got towards the end of the second quarter, and Jalen Brunson, who had 15 in the second quarter, by the way, Jalen Brunson started getting comfortable. The Spurs started losing the plot offensively. It felt very perimeter-based, not just because they were taking threes, but it felt like they were starting to lose some of the purpose of their offense towards the tail end of the second quarter, which it didn't matter as much because of what the lead was. But I'm watching that, typing in my notes, like, I don't really love how this is ending. Had a note about Wemby and some of the shots he was taking towards the end of the second. I was like, hey, this feels kind of hazy. Second half, the Knicks rep up their own defensive pressure. We'll get into some high pickup points. We're going to be active off the ball. We're going to be physical off the ball. We're going to put you in a box. The Spurs could not find, at least not consistently, they could not find the same flow that they were able to tap into in that first half. And as Jalen Brunson kept bucket getting, as OG Anunoby kept them afloat with some shot making in the first half, continued to do so in the second half, Karl-Anthony Towns wakes up in the fourth early on. Like, one, nice to see you on the court. Two, nice to see you taking shots in the fourth quarter. And it just kind of snowballs from there. And I'm so impressed with the resolve of this Knicks group. I'm also disappointed go ahead.
Well, see, this is where I disagree with you, right? The second quarter, okay. I was fine. The Spurs were still getting to what they wanted to. They had intention. They were getting to the half court. I thought De'Aaron Fox was really good. All their guards were very impactful, especially Dylan Harper, and specifically that second quarter. The third quarter is where things started to deconstruct. The guys, they shot 4 of 20 in the third quarter. They shot 4 of 19 in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. In the second half, the guys. OG Anunoby made 7 on his own. So when I'm talking about there were two or three different games, it's not like the Spurs weren't still trying to do what they were doing in the third quarter. They just lost their edge. And so the automatics that they had created offensively, they were not hitting in the same way. History is how good the Spurs played in that first half because of what happened in the second half. That's just how works. We all were on time and on target. They told the Knicks defense, hey, cool that your weak side is going to be in. We're playing out of it. You tag, kick, we're out of here. We're making threes. We're driving your closeouts. We're getting different things. I felt like the missing piece for me in that third quarter was Victor Wembanyama had to be assertive. And he took 5 shots. He was 1 of 5. But of any of those, did you feel he was assertive as he was in the first half? And I felt like that didn't set the tone necessarily for the Spurs. I don't think they had a tone setter offensively in that second half, third quarter. Who was the person that was putting pressure? Svon Castle did not take a shot in the third quarter. Didn't take one. Played 6 minutes.
Couldn't.
Wemby, 1 of 5. What actions did he hit? What did you do that you did in the first half? What did you replicate? What pressure points did you hit? And the funny part is, I've always yelled about the Spurs going too fast. They had the right mindset as far as taking a little bit of air out of the ball, but they dinged the Knicks in the same way. And by the time you got to trying to put Jalen Brunson and Cat in action, didn't have the same impact. Now, this does not take away the fact that the Knicks did everything they were supposed to do to get themselves back in this game, to hang around. I personally was sitting there like, hey, as this lead was shrinking, I need the assignment here, because this is not going to be the same talk about Jalen Brunson that we had after game 3 for whatever reason. If you continue to play like this on both ends of the floor and you allow him to keep playing like this, you're going to put yourself in danger. And sure enough, they end up losing this game. I think as that second half wore on, they lost comfort and confidence. The problem is they lost the comfort and confidence on defense. And like, they can kind of find their way and wiggle through things offensively if the defense is going to be at least 8, 9, 10 out of 10, right? We can agree on that. Mm-hmm. But as the Knicks were able to poke at that and get to quicker decisions and get to more drives, because that's the contrast. Like, when I say there's eight games in one game, the Spurs were so good at taking away dribble penetration from the Knicks in the first half. Mm-hmm. In the second half, the Knicks were so good at getting to drive and kick and forcing the Spurs to rotate. It's a thin margin. I sound like a crazy person, but it's a thin margin between forcing the Spurs to rotate and watching the Spurs make the rotations they want to make. And the Knicks continue to hit all the right notes. Cat hit the drives when he needed to hit them. The defense stepped up for the Knicks. They just never stopped playing. And honestly, you know what's weird? In that second half, it felt like they played with, like, they had nothing to lose. All the pressure that they felt in that first half was gone in that second half comeback. And the closer they got, the more they went for it. Do you remember the moments? I think it was third, early fourth, when Victor Wembanyama was lifted, not on the low block, and Jalen Brunson all of a sudden became an all-pro running back and decided, I'm going to get a first down and drive to the basket and do whatever I can. Mm-hmm. Like, those little things, the Knicks were just poking at the Spurs in different ways.
No, I think, just to zoom in on the second half, like, that felt like the story of the game for me. As, again, Jalen Brunson was incredible, OG Anunoby was incredible. The way that the Knicks kind of dictated to the Spurs, like, no, this is how you're going to defend. This is how you're going to rotate, and we know how to beat it. The fact that they got to that as consistently as they did in the second half, and you obviously felt it more in the fourth quarter, it was incredible to watch. And similar to what I said after the Game 3 show, I can't wait to go back and watch this one to pick out even more, like, micro moments where, like, ooh, this was probably when this was going to happen. Like, honestly, you go back mid-second quarter, the Spurs are trying to flow into either, I think it was either double drag or Spain. Can't remember which one it was. Brunson gets that steal in the layup. I immediately put in my notes like, hey, I wonder if that's going to be the one that kind of gets him going. Ends up with 15 in the quarter, and the second half just ends up being what it was. But the fact that they were able to poke at the Spurs that way, I go back to what I asked you in that game three, where it's like, with Wemby at the level in particular, do you feel like they need to do something differently, or is it just an execution deal for them? And it was interesting to watch them kind of parse through. We have Wemby at the level. Okay, here's a late switch. Okay, let's switch. Let's bring a random double, try to get him out of here, and we're right back into the rotation loop again. Or right back to where is your comfort defensively? Like, it was just a funny bit to witness in real time.
Well, here's the thing. When you ask the question, do they need to do something different, they tried two or three different things. They had Wemby drop back into a late switch. They had Wemby at the level. They had him outright switch. They switched and doubled, kicked him out of the matchup. The issue is, on a night where Jalen Brunson is cooking, those rotations don't feel the same. Mm-hmm. So when Jalen Brunson gets the ball back, right, you get Wemby to switch. You get Vassell there. We get a double. You get another switch, whatever it is. Now it's one-on-one, and Brunson cooks and gets to his spots. This is the hardest thing to explain in this series, because this is not a narrative series, despite it has to be. It's the finals. But this is not a one-size-fits-all type of series. This is not a one-thing-means-everything type of series. It's a mindset and gut series, folks. You got to go out there and get it. And this game was the perfect example to me. The Spurs went out and took this game in the first half and then lost this game. You want to know why? Because the Knicks took this game in the second half. There's no easy box to put all of this into. I hate to say it. It's been frying me for the last 45 minutes. How do you not salute the Knicks for sending on this? Because do you remember the sound that the Madison Square Garden was making as the Spurs and Knicks exited? It was so quiet, Nikias. It was as quiet as you just hit me with right there. That's what it was. And you mean to tell me the Knicks win that game? It's an all-time classic. I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's going to take a minute to, like, fully absorb this one. And I guess quickly to the Spurs portion. Man, this Dylan Harper game is just going to be lost in history at this point. He was so freaking good tonight on both ends of the floor. Though, unfortunately, final possession of the game, because you had Wemby out, you had the double team against Jalen Brunson on that final possession, it's OG Anunoby flying in. Like, Dylan Harper, I think, was technically, like, the free guy to try to roam in and box out if he could, but that's a tough ask for him in that spot. But what a game it was. Like, the drives hit all game long for him. And he had some fun ones. Like the one where you get Josh Hart, let me blow past you, Jeremy Sochan. We got Jeremy Sochan minutes in this game. We got Ariel Helwani minutes in this game for the New York Knicks. They had to cycle through four different options at the five tonight. Five if you include OG with some of the lineups. Because of the foul trouble. And again, overarching theme, the Spurs really dictated terms on both ends of the floor in that first half and had historic shot making behind the arc to capitalize on what they were doing on both ends of the floor. And it still ended with them chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. This is why, like, you know, we have joke about it when we get to watch games together. It's like, hey, all you got to do is chip it down to X. 25-point lead, just get it to 18. If it's 18, get it to 12. If it's 12, get it to 8. And, like, this is what it is. And so I wish I had more, like, technical things to get into right now, because there was so much that happened in this game. But I am in awe of the Knicks coming back from darn near 30 to win a finals game and erasing that in a half. That's not how that's supposed to work.
I think when you talk about chipping away, you look at the game, it was 95 to 80 Spurs, right? It's 97-88 Spurs. It's 99-90 Spurs. It's 99-95 Spurs. Mm-hmm. It's 104-100 Spurs. It's 105-104 Knicks. And I think what happened was, I thought was very interesting, and one of the biggest swings, right? One, the Jose Alvarado pick and pop three that he made, probably one of the bigger shots that hopefully won't get history, but that was a massive one. They were down seven. Wimby had just got like a pick and roll, pick and pop, got her on the short roll, made one. Alvarado responded right back. You got to remember, within the context of this, this Knicks team almost had their Charles Smith moment, because the Spurs were searching and they were lost. They were trying to go, like, they were alternating between putting Brunson in action and they wanted Fox and Wembanyama in pick and roll. And Fox and Wembanyama had a possession where I don't remember exactly what happened, but it was kind of funky. I don't remember if a foul got called, but I remember the camera panned on them talking to each other after that one, and they went back to it. And Fox immediately, when he took the dribble, was looking for Wimba, and Wimby was not there. Josh Hart steals, and it's like, oh wow, they really gone ahead and handed this, and then he missed, and I was like, oh wow, this is what we're doing. So I mean, I think there's balance and there's moments for every X and O, every technicality. This may not be one of them. This may just be basketball in its finest moments. And the game of basketball is meant to be something that's different, that is tough. It's hard to win a championship. And we always talk about the heart of a champion. Is that something that's easy to explain? Is there a analytic that's quantifiable, that's going to quantify what that means? I don't know. I just know I watched the New York Knicks somehow find a way to battle and fight their way in a game where they got beat up for 24 consecutive minutes. Like, it was, when the graphic popped up, this is the first lead. And, like, this is where, yeah, we can talk about the Spurs, I got to work on. But, like, I give a tip of the cap to the Knicks for staying engaged, staying within it, continuing to believe, continuing to fight, continuing to move the ball, and continuing to give the effort, right? Karl-Anthony Towns didn't have his best night. He had, of his four buckets, at least two of them were extremely impactful. If you remember the drive against Wimby, like, he won the drives when he needed to. He just had to be impactful. OG Anunoby was on site for them the entire time. Jalen Brunson carried them for the majority of it. That bucket getting, combined with their defense, carried them through a game they shouldn't have been in. And that's it's a tough pill to swallow for the Spurs, right? Because you did so many things right, and then you did so many things wrong. And how do you balance that? If you're Victor Wembanyama, what's the taste that you feel after that third and fourth quarter? How many moments do you think you left on the table in the third? How many moments do you think you left in the fourth? De'Aaron Fox was so good in that. De'Aaron Fox was so good in that game until he couldn't quite get the buckets to go late. That's got to be a tough one to hit And now you're going back home in a must-win scenario to extend the series.
I think to the Wimby portion, because I alluded to this a little bit earlier in the conversation, where I looked at the end of the second quarter and was like, hey, kind of need you to relax a little bit. This is getting, it's getting a little hazy. Let's get a little bit more intention. Let's get you back in the paint. Let's get you downhill a little bit more. I think to your general question of like how he feels, like he can't feel good with what the second half was. Because I don't think he got to, or he didn't do his part in imposing his will as often as the Spurs needed him to. Now, it was funny to go from that third quarter, you mentioned the stats there, to the early fourth quarter, where it felt like every possession within the first 4 minutes of the fourth quarter was the Spurs looking for Wimby on a lob in some capacity. And on the other end, the Knicks were looking for Mitchell Robinson for lobs at the same time. So, like, that was a fun mini battle happening there. So you had elements of that. You had, I would say, midway through the fourth quarter, like the Spurs break out the flat spacing look that they've dabbled with throughout the series. Like, I honestly want to see them go to it a little bit more to simplify some things for Wimby, give him some more space to operate with. But they go to a Fox Wimby pick and roll with flat spacing. Wimby just gets the ball at the free throw line, takes a face-up jumper over Cat and knocks it down. It's like, okay, maybe that's the one that's going to settle him. Because they tried to get him lobbed. Some were successful, some weren't. We get you a shot in the middle of the floor. Like, okay, that's cool. And late in the fourth, like, you didn't really feel him the way that you would like to. And even in that third quarter, like, it was weird to kind of balance that first half where you got the rolls from Wimby and the roll gravity opening things up for him. It felt like anytime Mitchell Robinson had him, and there was a lot in that first quarter in particular because of the foul trouble from Cat, but like just successful drive after successful drive. I'm just like, where is that Victor Wembanyama? If Mitchell Robinson's on the floor,
he played the game, in my opinion. He played the game. He trusted that their defense would be good enough. He didn't have necessarily the same attack mindset, in my opinion, that he had in the first half. I mean, you don't go from pointing at Mitchell Robinson and saying, I'm in your head, two times in a 37-second span to that third quarter. And so I think it was just, all right, we've got them where we want them. Our defense is going to do our job. We're going to get the shots we want. We'll be fine. He didn't necessarily have the same, like, if you counter what Wimby did in the third quarter offensively with what Jalen Brunson did to just try and keep the Knicks afloat, you feel a lot differently, right? And that's just that's the next evolution for Wimby, to be honest with you. And again, this is he's only going to get better from what we've seen tonight, guys. That's the scary part. And so that's where I'm like, so much stuff. This was a crazy game. But like for me, it's just like they lost confidence in where they the Knicks. And by the time they got back to like, let's put Jalen Brunson in action, it felt like it might have been too late, right? Like they had these moments where they were putting Cat and Brunson in pressure situations. They were playing out of what the Knicks wanted to do, and then they lost it as the game went on. And then they were just searching, which is funny because they had the Knicks searching in the first half. This series is just a fight.
No, it's a battle indeed. That's where I am really curious to see what the response is going to be for the Spurs. Like, in a literal sense, it better be a good one or the series is over because, duh, that's just how the math works. But this is a team that has taken punches throughout this playoff run, and they've responded. Like, the game three itself was a response after they lost their first two home games. You know what I mean? So, like, this, I don't anticipate the Spurs just not being prepared, especially since they have the extra day before we get into the game five. But, like, I'm curious to see, like, how this is absorbed. Like, you asked the question, like, what is the taste in Wimby's mouth right now? How is he going to feel? Stephon Castle, I wonder how he feels. Because what a roller coaster of a game this has been. I literally put in my notes, Steve, I think, as he picked up his fourth foul in the third quarter. Yeah, there it is. 10:09 mark. Castle has 5 points and four fouls as he goes to the bench, and it hasn't mattered even a little bit. It ended up mattering Steve, that he didn't have the same consistent juice throughout this basketball game. And I think as Jalen Brunson, again, found some rhythm in the second quarter, and it really cooked in the second half, it would have been nice to have a consistent dose of Stephon Castle with like the full pressure bit for him without, you know, him sitting for a little bit. And then also, well, I want to be physical, but I can't be too physical because I don't ultimately want to foul out this basketball game. Like, I wonder on a basic note, like how much of that plays into what this finish was. Like the Cat foul trouble in the first half and then the Stephon Castle foul trouble in the second half, I think represented some pretty real swings for both of these teams in different areas. So like, I want to see how Wimby responds. Go ahead.
My mind goes to elimination games get really weird, and this is going to be a really odd one because you had the New York Knicks in an absolute perilous position. You beat them in game 3, and then in game 4, you jumped on them by 27 at the half, right? Mm-hmm. They've won that game. What do they have to lose? How are you going to put them back into whatever they felt in this moment? They are only one game away from winning an NBA championship. And so, like, we talk about the X's and O's. We talk about the little things, the battles of the series. But, you know, as the series progresses, okay, yes, this matters. But this team may have a completely different mindset. If I'm the New York Knicks, all I have to do is put 48 minutes together. And I have accomplished every single goal I want to do in my life. And that's on top of winning a game when we were down by 29 points in our own building. You know what I mean? Like, in the back of my brain, I'm like, are the Spurs ever going to have them feeling that much anxiety again in this series? I don't know. Like, think about the work that they'll have to win in San Antonio and then win again in New York. A place where they were up 27, they were up 29 and lost. Like the jubilation that Karl-Anthony Towns showed at the end of that game said it all to me.
Yeah.
They released a lot of demons in that one as far as we are a team of destiny. That can carry you in a way that no X's and O's can be explained.
Yeah, this is a special night, man. This was a special night. And again, we're going to be able to look back at this one, watch it with a fresh set of eyes tomorrow or something like that, get into some more of the things that we talk about, what game 5 is going to potentially look like for both of these teams. But holy crap, what a comeback win for the New York Knicks. Can I sprinkle in a quick number, Steve, on the Victor Wembanyama front? As some of the second spectrum data is starting to roll in now. You talked quite a bit and did so well with the Knicks putting Victor Wembanyama in action, particularly in the second half of that game, particularly in the fourth quarter of this game. Overall, Victor Wembanyama defended 33 on-ball picks in this game, 1.35 points per possession on any trip featuring a pick and roll defended by Wemby in this basketball game. Just easily one of the worst marks that he's had in a game all year long. In the second half in particular, Steve, 21 picks, 1.75 points per possession. Nearly a guaranteed bucket with Wemby in action in pick and roll in the second half of this game. And now I'm curious to see like what the fourth quarter is. But like that alone it's insane. This is the defensive player of the year. This is one of the most impactful defenders that we have ever seen. And the Knicks were like, yes, you are scary. We're going to bring you in action. We're going to make you move around, and we're going to find the shots that we want anyway. Can the rest of y'all do something about it? Or if you you hold up enough to where the rest of you can't do anything about it?
Well, I mean, to me, it was a way for New York to force San Antonio to do something, for New York to find a controllable. New York could not find an automatic to save their life in that first half. San Antonio was lights out defensively. Anytime New York wanted to find a matchup, they were able to pre-switch. They were to show help. They just took things off the table. New York said, we are doing this specifically. What are you prepared to do about it? And that seems really silly to a degree, right? But, okay, Wemby, how many times do you want to be at the level? You're going to be in a drop above the three-point line. Jalen Brunson's going to have space. Are you going to switch? Are you guys going to switch and double? What are you going to do? we're now playing out of the rotations. The way they stacked that, I think, is the most important thing, right? Outside of the stats, they were able to say, okay, cool. And keep in mind, the Jalen Brunson shot, when he got the switch over Victor Wembanyama, if the Knicks are to pull this off, will probably go down in the annals of history. Yeah. We can all say that. That was a massive make. You got to have some real gumption to take that kind of shot. But the fact that they continued to go with high pick and roll, no matter what the score was, they put Wimby in action. They forced the Spurs to kind of react around it, and they played out of it. It gave them a chance to make quicker decisions. It gave them a chance to dictate terms. Even if it wasn't a perfect world, they were able to kind of have a greater command of what they wanted to do offensively than in the first half, where they were just trying to find something at the very least. And I think I put one clip where it's like, they got Wimby to, like, they didn't even get a switch. Like, the Spurs recovered. They didn't have what they wanted, but they played out of it, got Dylan Harper to switch on Jalen Brunson. He drove. Now they got a kick, and they drove again. Like, they were able to just kind of play basketball outside of what the Spurs wanted them to do. I think that was so important. Now, does that mean they can spam that all next game? No. But it did what it was supposed to do tonight. And now you've got a chance to just put together. All we have to do is put together 48 minutes of basketball. We are NBA champions. That's where they are at, right? The Spurs got to figure out what happened to us in that second half. How do we get back in this? How do we win a game at home? You're facing a team that can smell it now. And they can smell it after coming back from this far down. That's a tall task.
It's one of those things where, and I'd be curious to get your take on this as someone that's literally worked in the league. Like, obviously, you never want to be down 29 points in any game, much less a finals game. But, like, surely the buy-in becomes a little bit easier in the huddle if you get off to a slow start when you are coming off of a game where you just came back from 29. Like, if the Spurs jump out, like, 14-2 or something in game five, I don't know if Mike Brown has to be super rah-rah about it. Like, am I off on that general sentiment? Like,
yes.
I just can't imagine what kind of confidence booster that is. Like, that's nuts to me.
I think this is the disconnect that everyone has when it comes to basketball and athletics and sports and competition. There's a level of delusion that comes with this, Nikias. You can throw the numbers out the table. You can throw that out of there. One play at a time. Sounds silly. Sounds dumb. Sounds stupid till you watch it happen. One play at a time. We get one stop. We get a bucket. We don't have to get it all at once. There's a belief you have to have to compete at the highest levels. There's a belief you have to have as a team to compete and achieve things at the highest levels. It's not always something that we can talk about as a stat. It is something you have to have. That's what makes champions so special. There's a belief you play with where, we're really down bad right now. But if we do this, this, and that, still think we got a shot. It's the same criticism that people want to give the Spurs that didn't make any sense to me. Because why would the Spurs think they can't win this series and they shouldn't have won one of those two games at home? And then they win game three. Because that's what competitors do. I'm so sorry. That's the level of delusion you have to have. And if you're the Knicks, we got punched in the mouth. Not great. Not awesome. But if you want to win, we do X, Y, and Z. Okay? And you do X, Y, and Z, and you get yourself in a fight that's different. Now we play. Think about think about how tight the Knicks may have looked in that first half. You never felt that in the second half. They were not perfect in that second half, despite making that comeback, but you never felt the tightness. And you heard the crowd roar. That crowd sounded like the definition of anxiety in that second quarter. That crowd is what you hear on your drive home when you don't put any music on. That's what that crowd was. And every celebrity was shaken by the time that game was over. And that is where the New York Knicks are going to put the feather on the cap, potentially, of a historic playoff run. That's a special moment they had. That's something that everyone will remember. where they were when Jalen Brunson did this, when OG Anunoby tipped that back in, when the Knicks had the largest comeback in finals history, when you see Marcus Camby, you see Stephon Marbury on the baseline yelling at the ref on drives, like that's something that can't necessarily be captured all the time. But that's what the Knicks did. You shifted the vibes. You did what you're supposed to do. You never gave up.
I'm glad you brought up Stephon Marbury, by the way, because one of the things I wanted to bring up at like the very end of this, shout out to him like calling out the defensive 3 seconds in the first half. He's just pointing at, I think it was Keldon Johnson early in the game. It's like, you know what? That's what fan engagement is supposed to be like. We don't need the toxicity. You're like, hey, that guy's breaking the rules. Ref, do your job. Do your gosh darn job. Like that, that's what it's all about. It's very cool to see him back in the building. Go ahead.
Can I raise my hand real quick? Because he was very active. Can we talk about one play that I has lost my mind until this very moment? The Spurs are up 106-105. They get the deflection. Why did De'Aaron Fox go up with that shot? Incredible effort from OG Anunoby. But like, you didn't think about it in real time, right? You saw the deflection. You saw the Spurs get the ball. And it's like, oh, okay. And the Knicks had the ball again. It's like, wait. And looking like, back in my head, it's like, I mean, that's the confidence of athletes. You go for the gusto, you swing for the fences, but at the same time, if you just dribble that through the baseline, you go to the line.
Brother, you're the vet.
Tough.
You're literally the vet.
I mean, they shocked him. I don't know. We've got a lot of words out about this game, but I don't know what I just witnessed. I haven't truly absorbed it. I just know the New York Knicks deserve all the credit in the world for doing that. And I mean, honestly, you got to salute OG for the quick decision he had to understand, like to understand, okay, you're not going to pass me the ball in this shot. I'm going to turn this into a crash. You know what I mean? There was no hesitation. Wimby switched out on Brunson. There's no pass to me, even though I'm open. Let me turn the corner and make something happen. And the ball, Chat, I don't know. I don't know what we just watched. I don't know how to describe what Jalen Brunson did. But this is why you let Jalen Brunson be Jalen Brunson. The shot making he had during that period, especially near the end, to really put the Knicks over the top. What do you say? What do you say, Nikias? What do you say?
Bing bong, question mark? Is that what we rock with here?
I don't think there's ever been a question mark beyond Bing bong. Also, I'm going back to that play. The wildest part is Fox made the play to tip it out to get the ball. That's the craziest part.
He
tipped that loose ball. OG gave the effort to block. Basketball is a cruel, lovely, wonderful sport. What else you got, Nikias? Send you the notes.
Oh man, I was just gonna say, circling back to a little bit earlier, Steve, the Knicks having the 13 game win streak, having the win streak snapped, and the response to having the historic win streak snapped is the biggest comeback in finals history, if not playoff history, is unbelievable to me. Like, the Knicks just can't stop making history. They can't stop putting themselves in these conversations. It is incredible that this has been the run for them. As far as emptying the notes goes, Steve, I alluded to a little bit earlier, it is unbelievable that we got Ariel Huck 40 and also Jeremy Sochan minutes in this basketball game. Like, that is a thing that happened because, Kat, a minute and 5 seconds. Oh, also, tied to that, the earliest challenge I think I have seen in a basketball game this year. And it happened in the finals. And I was like, dog, I feel you. Why are you? You know how I feel about first half challenges. And you definitely know how I feel about first quarter challenges. I see 10:55 on the clock and the fingers being twirled. Like, yo, why are we doing this? And then the challenge was won. And Cat had his second foul and Wimby didn't have one. I was like, you know what, Mitch Johnson, well played. I can't hate on that one.
That's why you do it first half. Yeah. A lot of reactions to that foul trouble first half deal. Don't want to talk about it. I'm going to change the subject, actually. I'm going to give a salute to Mike Brown for trusting Jose Alvarado in those big spots. And
as it should, because like
the efforts that he gave as far as being able to just do his job on both ends of the floor. I know we talked about the shot a little bit earlier, but like the drives, the spacing, the cutting, the activity, like that's a gutsy call to make from Mike Brown. And it paid off.
Yeah. It was a night where Deuce McBride didn't have it to the degree that you're accustomed to him, at least throughout this postseason run. And we just saw a whole lot of, let's just play Jalen Brunson and Jose Alvarado together, which I think is just smart. One, if the Spurs are going to be this physical and this active against Jalen Brunson, if he's going to get picked up 70 feet from the basket every other time the ball is inbounded to him, let's get another ball handler out there. And so we can get into some two-man actions with Jose Alvarado, or as we saw late in that game, Brunson gets the ball anyway. We can use you as a screener, just kind of send that second way to make sure Wimby's in action, and we can have fun from there. I'm right there with you. Like, really great call from Mike Brown to have Jose out there, and Jose produced on both ends of the floor. He deserves his love on that front. I just looking at the overall final stats, Steve, since they've updated at this point through four games because of the huge night we just saw for Jalen Brunson, now averaging 29.5 points in the series. That leads everyone. Victor Wembanyama is second at 27.8. Mm-hmm. Jalen Brunson, 29.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals are the box scoring averages. That's the positive end. The other side of that, shade under 40% from the field, 34.5% from 3 on 7.3 attempts, 86% from the line on 7 attempts, is 5 assists to 4 turnovers a game, but just has come up huge in multiple fourth quarters at this point, which has kind of been the theme for him throughout this postseason run. And so those are your Jalen Brunson numbers right now. Wimby at 28-11-3, a steal and 3 blocks. OG Anunoby averaging 24-4, a steal and a block and a half through the first 4 games of the series. It's fun. It's fun. The Knicks are up 3. Is Jalen Brunson? Go ahead.
If you want to throw the lob to me, you can do it. But I saw a lot of plus minus stats floating in between these games, and in my head, I'm like, how many minutes is Brunson shared with Victor Wembanyama? That might have an impact on it. I know Kat's also been there as well, but we might want to relax on that. Jalen Brunson was plus 30 in the second half alone. So
that's pretty big.
Hear me good, people of the world. If the New York Knicks win this championship, the finals MVP is Jalen Brunson. If for no other reason than tonight. But he has done what he's wanted to do. The funny part is everyone yelled at Jalen Brunson. His most efficient game was what? Game 3, right? It's Jalen Brunson's trophy. It's his championship. This game, we're not here for an hour after this game if Jalen Brunson doesn't continue to get buckets.
Mm-hmm.
All of you in the chat agree. Whether you want to or not.
Now, Steve, can I make you laugh very quickly as we have the graphic of 36-5-7 for Jalen Brunson and 3 steals? You know who led the Knicks in plus minus tonight?
You're going to say OG Anunoby. I'm going to close my laptop. I'm gone.
I'm not, actually. It was not OG Anunoby.
Who was it?
It was who I thought was the finals MVP through the first 2 games of the series, Karl Anthony Towns.
That's been great. I'm not going to take plus that down.
Plus 7. Plus 17 in a shade of the 26 minutes tonight. Very funny in light of how that game started.
You know, you give Cat a salute for that second half. Foul trouble took him out of rhythm. Would have understood if he just had a bad night. The drives he had at Wimby were important when he made them. And so that's another tip in the cap for him. And for the Spurs, boy, that's a lot to digest and process, especially because even throughout it all, you had a chance to win it. You had a chance to win it. You had a chance to win it. And now, back to the drawing board. But it's all about the Knicks. Board. We've literally never seen a finals comeback like this. And with me at my not quite big age, but getting there, might not ever see one like that again. So you just kind of got to be romantic about basketball sometimes, Nikias, and take the game for what it is and enjoy the competition aspect of it and take a moment to understand how hard it is to win a championship in this league.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it's all about. This series has been back and forth all the way. Whatever it ends in will not define it if you absorbed it. I tip my cap to all the competitors, but the New York Knicks laid it all on the line in Madison Square Garden, and they created a moment that the city of New York will never forget. I don't know how else you can describe it.
Yeah. That was special stuff from the New York Knicks, and buddy, is it going to be rocking for Game 5. I'm excited to see what this response is going to be for the San Antonio Spurs. And as you've already mentioned, Steve, you're one game away if you're the New York Knicks. It almost doesn't matter what it looks like as long as it's a W. Like, this could be another big Brunson game. This could be Cat takes 7 threes. This could be Josh Hart left open, but he knocks down 7 threes. This could be Mikal Bridges bouncing back and having a shot-making game. Because it largely was not that for him in this particular game. It just doesn't matter. You just got to get it done. This could be 91-87. Mitchell Robinson has 8 offensive rebounds. It might be the game of the playoffs where he makes his free throws. You just never know. Quick salute to Mitchell Robinson for just having to ramp up the minutes tonight in light of the Cat foul trouble and in light of the backups were not fully ready to take on those minutes. So very quick stints for them to get Mitchell Robinson back out there. Wimby won some drives early, but he ultimately held up, got some key lobs in that fourth quarter from Jalen Brunson. Like, it, I want to give him the quick salute.
I do wonder, as we wrap this up, you've got to find a solution for the non-Wimby minutes. And because you were winning, you went full gas pedal. The Cornet minutes haven't been great since God knows when at this point.
Yeah. Played 4 minutes. But
Wimby ends up playing 43. Do you go small? Like, how do you, like, I'm wondering if I'm Mitch Johnson, do I feel like maybe I go Harrison Barnes for a 2 minute spell? Heck, you could even go Mace if you wanted to, Bismack, someone to just give him a spell, a blow, so he can come with a different attack. And how much did that kind of play into it? But like, the margins of the NBA are not kind. The Spurs have led in every first quarter, right? The Spurs have had a lead in every fourth quarter, right? The Spurs have won a single game.
A game.
And if you look at the box score, like I'm looking at the game book right now, the Spurs' largest lead in this game was 29. Mm-hmm. The Knicks' largest lead in this game was 1.
And they won. It's all you need. It's all you need. I think that's a key point to make/close with. We personally have, I don't think we've talked a ton about, like, we've obviously talked about the impact of Wimby on the floor and need for the Spurs to, like, win the minutes when he is not on the floor. But the fact that the minutes have ramped up for him to this degree, I would imagine at least plays a small factor in some of the shot decisions that he's making as these games get a little bit later, or some of the juice on the drives being made. Like, it is the finals, so, like, to a certain extent, you do just kind of have to push through that because they need you to do that. But he is a human at the end of the day, and I would imagine going from, you know, a handful of games off the bench as the Spurs are kind of maintaining him in the health during the regular season, average about 30 minutes a game, it's just steady going up and up and up and up and up as the postseason goes on, and they are coming off of this 7-game back and forth with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And this is the first time that he's been in the playoffs, and it is a finals run. Like, there is an element of, is his body actually ready for this? The Spurs need it to be so they can win, but this is new territory for him. And so, again, like, an extra day between these games for these teams, do we just get Wimby with more juice to start? Like, is this going to be like a 5 or 6 drive first quarter for him in Game 5? It could be, but that's something where I'm curious to see, like, what the overall impact of that is going to be. Like, I think that is kind of like an under-discussed portion of the Wimby experience.
It's, It's hard to get there because to what you were saying, the first thought in my brain was, well, the Spurs are going to have to deliver a blow to the Knicks in the first quarter of game five. The Spurs have delivered multiple blows to the Knicks in almost every first quarter that we've seen, including this one where they played some of the best basketball we've ever seen them play, and they ended up losing the game. And so I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. This is electric. This is competitive basketball. This is what you want to see if you're a basketball fan. And so it's just been a joy to watch these two teams compete at the highest level for the championship. Knicks only need one more. Spurs got to figure it out. So, and like I just, what I'd say is, I mentioned the Aaron Fox play. If you're going to define him solely by that, okay, sure. That's going to take away a lot of the big plays that he made to get the Spurs to that lead. And so that's just me. I won't go on my humanity rant because this is the time and age we live in. But take us home, guys.
No, I think that's fair. It's a bad night for that particular narrative in light of the Dylan Harper game. But let's get out of here. Thank you for listening to and or watching this episode of The Dunker Spot. Please subscribe if you haven't already. We're on Apple, Spotify, RIP Google, Stitcher, Podbean, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us. Subscribe to the Yahoo NBA YouTube channel if you haven't already. That's where the finals content is living. Subscribe to the Yahoo Sports main YouTube channel. That's where the WNBA content is living. We had a fun episode earlier today, so check that out. You can follow me on socials at NikaiasNBA. You can follow Steve on socials at SteveJones20. And with that, we will catch y'all on Friday.